morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me, Soledad?
I can hear you perfectly.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna wear my sunglasses so that I can see you.
I love it. I love it.
My husband's gonna be like, "Who do you think you are?"
You're looking like a celebrity right now. You got that vibe going on, you know?
Just know it's because I'm blind. I can't see. And my
It's
sunglasses are prescription.
a look. It's a look.
Oh, what incredible morning vibes we have going on.
Honestly,
All
I
right,
am.
let's have fun.
I'm Kevin Munoz. This is the Leo Podcast, and today is Monday, January 25th. So what's going on with I like your background there, like the paintings. Is that you or your husband's work?
My husband. So he has these usually are on our walls, but we had like to redo some shit in the house, and we took them all down and we haven't been back up. So yeah, this is like my favorite one. It's called Divided We Stand. And then this heart one we did together.
Oh.
And these are some other ones that he has there.
Wow, that's awesome. Does he do this
We're
on
like
like his extra time or
very,
just?
no, it's just all fun. Like we're very, my husband and I are both into just like creating stuff. Like
I
we're
love that.
very,
Well, you're
and so
definitely a
it's interesting to
creator.
see our kids too.
Yeah.
Like, except our baby, he's like not into it, but like my husband, me, and the 6-year-old are very like, "Ooh, what can we make? What can we make?" And the 3-year-old is like, "What can I consume? What can I consume?"
Different mindsets. That's
Yeah,
funny.
so they're like, "Who are you?" 3-year-old also likes sports, and we're not like into sports at all. So it's
Oh, okay.
interesting that it's just like
Gotta
all.
adapt to that now. Now you have to be into sports by default, right? Well, I mean, let's just start off with just introducing yourself, with who you are, what you do, and just where you're from.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rita Soledad Fernandez Paulino. You can call me Soledad. I am from Echo Park. I'm a mother of two. I was raised by a single mother who had been born in Mexico but immigrated to the United States when she was 6 years old. My father also immigrated as a young child. So, in some ways, I'm one of the first people in my family. My sister was born in the United States. We do have tías and tíos who were born in the United States. So, we're like in a mix of being, I'm in the mix of being like first gen, but not really first gen. I've had some benefits of having family who was raised in the United States and went to school in the United States. My husband, however, is the first one in his family to be born in the States. So he's truly first gen. I used to be a math teacher and I got sick. And on bed rest, I started reading personal finance books, and then I became a personal finance enthusiast, eventually a personal finance content creator, and now I offer financial coaching, and I'm studying to become a certified financial planner. So that's me in a nutshell.
Let's break it down. Let's break some things down there that you kind of introduced from yourself. So I want to talk about your journey, how you got to where you are. You gave us a little bit of a summary, and I want to know the challenges that you faced to get where you are, because would you say that you're in a pretty good spot right now, as
I
far
would
as like,
say we are in a really sweet financial spot now. Like, this
That's
is
good to hear.
good. We could not have ever dreamed. Like, I didn't even know that this was possible. Like, I didn't, a year ago, would it be a year ago? Yeah, a year ago, I didn't know what it meant to be financially secure. I didn't even know. And now I learned that information and then I took action. But it wasn't like that, right? So I grew up raised by a single mom where money was always tight. And sometimes, she had to choose which bill she was going to pay. And that made me always want to save my money. I was very nerviosa in that sense of always feeling like, oh, I need to have money just since my mom needs to borrow money. And I started working at 13 years old. And again, I wasn't buying stuff for myself. I always felt the need to save it just in case my mom needed it. And I took a lot of pride in being able to, you know, help my mom like that, I never thought, I was never resentful about that. Still to this day, I love this idea that collectively we support each other and we can help each other.
I love that.
And yeah. So I worked at a young age and I was like a natural saver just because I had grown up, you know, with the identity of coming to the rescue with my little money. And so that worked for me. However, one thing that my mom always told me was to save to buy a house. That was the big thing.
The American dream, right?
Yes. That you save money for a down. Mm-hmm. So that's what I always thought about. I would put money in a high yield savings account because I didn't know about that. I also knew to avoid credit card debt, which I think was a big advantage.
So how old were you when you were thinking about all this?
So I was 19 years old and I dated a guy who was reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Okay. Yep. And, very popular book.
And so he read that book and he was talking about personal finances. So then I started listening or watching really Susie Orman. And that little moment in my life of dating that one guy, of wanting to have a conversation with him, led me to a little bit of personal finance, right? So I was around 19 years old when I got my first credit card, but with the information of the things that impact your credit score. So your utilization rate, you cannot, like if you have a credit card with $1,000 credit limit, you can't spend more than $300 on it because if you do, it's going to impact your credit score. So I knew that, right? I also knew that if you don't pay your credit card in full, you're going to pay interest. Mm-hmm. So I always paid my credit card in full. And I learned at a very young age to use my credit cards like debit cards. Huge advantage because I was able to avoid consumer credit card debt. However, I took out a lot of student loans, like over $100,000.
Well, listen, you're dropping some dimes on us right now because you're talking about the credit score. You're talking about you can't utilize your entire line of credit that they give you, which is like a common misconception that a lot of people think just because they give you $1,000, you're like, all right, well, I could spend all $1,000. I should spend all $1,000, but you shouldn't because, you know, the way it works, I even have an episode explaining it too, but the way it works is like you said, you got to use a certain percentage of it. So, I mean, it's pretty amazing that you were aware of this at 19, because I just thought like my credit score was like good already. I was like, but no, you got to like start building it and everything. Right.
Right. So. And another thing, like I remember that boyfriend saying, this is what he said, gringos, they add their children to their credit card to build their credit card as soon as their credit scores, as soon as they're 13 years old. Mm-hmm. So they already by 18 have a good credit score. So I remember him saying to me, like, we have to build it. It's not something that just is given to us. You don't automatically open up a credit card and have an 800 credit score.
That's right.
You know, like you don't get started with a perfect score.
Yep. That's what I thought. Which is also wild. I know.
And so that was something, and again, it was something that I was aware of because my mom, you know, would talk about buying real estate. Cause I think also all around the world, real estate is a very common way to like build wealth.
Yeah.
But here in the United States, it's not the only way. And that's really what I had to learn more. So I had like $100,000 of debt and student loan debt. And I wasn't on a budget. When my husband and I started making money, we felt like we had made it, you know, like we were middle class. So now we could eat out instead of like always eating this, you know, like frijoles y arroz at home. So
hay comida en la casa, ¿no?
Right. So now we were like, oh, we have money, we can eat out. So we ate out a lot and we took pride in, you know, both of us having like being professionals and having careers. So it was like, oh, you want that from Target? Okay. Te lo compro. You know, whatever anybody wanted, we bought. And we spent years like that and realizing like we have all this money and nothing to really show for it.
Yeah, right.
So when I got sick and I was on bed rest and I started reading personal finance books, one of the things that I read was that like you can live debt free, number one, which was a huge game changer for me. And also the importance of investing for retirement. And I realized like, oh shit, like we haven't been doing that. My husband didn't even have an employer retirement account. Like he had access to it, but he wasn't investing in it.
Yeah.
And that's when we started to make some changes.
So what made you like gravitate to these books? Well, like, were you just like, well, I need something to read. And then like, like, I'm just going to get these
finest books. I was sick on bed rest. Like, yeah. I was really, really sick. I had to be on medical leave for 6 months and I was on disability. Mm-hmm. And I was reading books and I had a primo, muy católico, who had read Dave Ramsey. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, oh, you should read this book. You know, okay. Like everyone was like giving me different books to read because it was like the one thing that was keeping my mind like good, like activated while being sick. And so I read Total Money Makeover. Mm-hmm. And I always like to say, like, my cousin is like Católico and Republican. And that's why, like, that was the book that I read because Dave Ramsey started my financial journey.
That's so funny.
However, like, I wouldn't really want anyone to start their journey with him, like, because it's very shameful.
Yes.
And I think that resonated with me. And when he talked about, like, his lingo, a lot of the stuff that he says,
very aggressive. Like,
yeah. And it's aggressive, but it reminded me kind of like, you know, like my mom always saying, like, oh, sin vergüenza. So when he was saying, like, you know, get out of debt, these people who just, you know, live with their debt, the tone reminded me so much of like my mom, my abuela.
Yeah, you like know? Shaming you kind of the way.
Yes,
yeah,
yes. Yeah. Which I think is also like common within like the Latino culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it worked for me, but it's also sad that it worked me in that way, you know? And later on, I read another book. And as I started to read other books, I was like, oh, we don't need to change from a place of shame. We can change from a place of like a hope.
Totally agree. Like in our community, the way we learn is just from like our parents. They kind of like just instill things into us. There's better ways of learning. Absolutely. And you've for sure portrayed that through like your account as well, which we'll talk about later on. But what types of like tools and strategies helped you along the way to get where you are?
So once I started reading about personal finance, then I started budgeting and becoming a zero-based budgeter changed everything for us.
Can you because explain to I us realized, what that is for some
of us? So a zero-based budget is this idea that you list out your income, you list out your expenses, and if there's any little bit of money left over, whether it's 100, whether it's 500, you make a plan for every single dollar until you have $0 left to budget. And so you're giving every single dollar a job. And doing that made me so conscious about one, that our income and expenses were very, like there wasn't a lot of wiggle room when I started. Mm-hmm. So I needed to either increase our income or decrease our expenses. But since I was sick on disability, I couldn't work on the increasing income part. So instead, I chose on decreasing my expenses. We got rid of subscriptions. I got rid of like getting manicures and pedicures. I got rid of doing my hair, put us on a budget for clothes. But more than anything, we had to become very mindful and intentional about everything we were going to spend our money on.
Right.
And once I cut everything down, there was enough money where I had more like $1,400 that I could spend towards debt. And that's what I started to do. So I started putting this extra money that we had towards debt and making huge payments. And then it's interesting, and I feel like this happens even with the clients that I work with, that once you start being intentional with your money, you're aware of the abundance that surrounds you, and money comes your way, and then you could just add that towards your specific financial goals. And there's going to be hardships. I mean, during my debt-free journey, I had a car accident, so I had to replace my car. And I remember thinking, like, am I going to get an auto loan to buy a car? Or am I going to just find a way to buy cash? And I decided to sell one of our cars so that I could use that money plus the money that I got from the insurance to buy a car cash, $18,000 cash.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But it's because I got like $9,000 from the insurance and then I sold the other car. So we downsized. We went from two cars to one car. Mm-hmm. But we didn't take out an auto loan. We decided to, you know, continue to be debt-free. And so in that moment, I realized, okay, I'm really committing to a new lifestyle where I'm really going to focus on living below my means first so that I could become debt-free, then so I could build an emergency fund, and then finally so I could invest a lot more.
Right. Yeah. And it's amazing that you did that. I think most people, when they get $19,000 from the insurance, right?
No, 9,000.
Okay. 9,000 from the insurance. They're like, well, this is extra money and I'm just going to take out I'm going to go get a new car and maybe use part of it and use a loan for the rest. Right. And get a new car. But I mean, it's all a mindset. Like what I've learned along the way, it's all a mindset. And you're like, no, I'm going to use all of this and some, so I don't have any additional debt. Right. And that's amazing. Like, not everyone thinks that way.
But the only reason we were able to think that way in that moment was because I was looking at our money. You know, I was looking at our money at that time,
right,
really,
right,
daily.
You're conscious of,
yes,
that. Yeah.
I was tracking my spending. I remember looking to see like how much money I had in a high yield savings account. And I would get like $20 a month from my high yield savings account. And then I looked at my student loans and I saw I was being charged $20 a day on interest. For, wow, my student loan. And, wow, that again, like being aware of these interest rates. And a lot of times, you know, like we're told that student loan debt is good debt and it's necessary. Like when, like if you need to buy a car auto loan, like because you don't have the cash right now, but buying that car is going to allow you to drive to college or drive to work. It's going to save your time. It's going to support your well-being. Do that. I'm not saying like avoid debt. No, sometimes we need to get debt, especially like as immigrants, we don't come here with all this money. So of course you're going to get debt along the way, but use that debt, be strategic about it, and then pay it down, right? Prioritize that, because as long as you're paying interest, then you're not gaining interest or you're not gaining, you know, dividends and increasing your own wealth.
Was it hard for you to transition like into this mindset and family wise? Because I'm sure like it's hard to explain to someone like when, as you're passionate about like finances, you know, and someone that's not so conscious as it, which is why like I started this podcast. And so, because while I have friends that know finances and family that are aware of it, talking with them about it, they kind of didn't really, they really didn't care. Like the way I was like, cause I was like, yeah, we should start, like, we need to start doing this. We need to open these accounts. You need to start thinking long-term. What are some like common issues or problems that, or, you know, that you had you transitioned into this mindset?
It was very hard and it felt lonely. And that's that I started it. First, I had to convince my husband. And my husband was kind of like, he was cool about us paying off debt. He was fine with that.
Yeah.
He was even cool with us building an emergency fund. But he had a lot of reservations about us investing in the stock market. He thought that was sketchy. So that's where I struggled with him. But us paying off debt, I definitely think, like, I just remember telling my friends who would invite me to like, oh, let's go out to eat. Let's go hang out. And I would have to say, I don't have any more in my eating out budget for this month.
And they're like, what are you talking about? Or
and something like, huh? And it was so hard. It was so hard to say those words. I don't have it in my budget right now.
Yeah.
But next month, let's do it. And I had to plan more in advance, right? Because I am, I think, somebody who's like very free spirited and who, like,
yeah, I can tell.
Cuando tengo las ganas, like, I'm going to do it.
Right. Yeah.
And so it was challenging to have a budget and be like, oh, I wanna go eat tacos, but I only have $13 left. Yeah. And that was hard. That was hard. And then it was hard to also say that out loud to other people.
Yeah.
And eventually I just started telling everybody, I wanna be debt free. I wanna be debt free. I wanna be debt free by 33. That was like my goal. and we reach that goal. And once we reach that goal, I realized, oh, now it's the same. You don't just like budget to become debt free. You also have to budget to save money.
Yeah.
So then I built, it took us 6 months to build our 6 month emergency fund. And once that was built, I realized it's still not done. No termina esto. Like, this has to be a lifestyle, living below your means.
Yeah.
And being aware of your spending, because if I want to now invest and max out retirement accounts, which in, you know, right now in 2021, $19,500 for a 401k, mm-hmm. $6,000 in an IRA. If I want to reach those huge milestones, which we needed to in order to be able to retire, since that's not something that we had been planning for, I need to continue budgeting. I need to continue living below my means. So I realized, oh, shit, this is going to be a lifelong journey. I'm going to have to continue telling people about my budget, about my budget, about my budget. Like, it's not going to stop.
Yeah.
And setting those types of boundaries, having those types of conversations with family, que ni quiere hablar de dinero, that's hard.
Right. Absolutely.
And it just got easier the more I practice. It's a muscle, you know, you just have to keep doing it. And then it just gets easier. And then it gets to the point where now, after, I don't know, more than 22 months of being on this journey, my family will be like, oh, do you have it in the budget to, do something? Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
Now they know. Everyone says budget to me. Yeah, and it's part of the reason why I started Wealth Para Todos, because I did feel very lonely being on this journey. And like, no one, like all the people who love me and support me in every single way of my life didn't want to talk about dinero. Mm-hmm. So they weren't going to be able to support me in this aspect. So I created this online community for myself.
Yeah, talk about Wealth Para Todos. You already started it.
Yeah, so in February of 2020, I just started an account. And I remember, like, my husband was like, wait, ¿qué vas a hacer? Like, you're going to go on there and talk about our money? And I was I was like, there's like this whole community. It's like hashtag debt-free community, hashtag fire community. I didn't even know about FIRE actually at that time. And I was like, and people talk about their money online and their journey and their goals and how they're saving for things. And so I'm going to do that too, because I'll have other people. And he's like, wait, what? And I was like, but Bobby, think about it this way. We may find other people like us with our stories. Because when I look through hashtag Jeffrey community, it was very rare to find other Latinos,
right?
Other people of color. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know, we need representation in this space. So
add
then
some
he was
spice
on board.
To it, you know?
Yes. So then he was on board, and I just started posting little poco a poco, just like what my financial goals were, and building community with people who would like just cheer me on. Mm-hmm. And it was nice. And then slowly, like, because my original name was Generational Wealth Para Todos, because of the name, like, people who were in the Jeffrey community who were Latinos were like, oh, you're Latina? Oh, and then, you know, you start talking.
Yeah, yeah.
And then eventually I felt like I found all these Latinos interested in talking dinero. And we started following each other, supporting each other. And it's just been a wonderful community to help my own personal financial goals. And also just realize, like, oh, I used to be a math teacher. I now have a passion for talking dinero so much.
Yeah.
I want this to be my career.
I love that. So you found this community on Instagram. And I think your personality, it's amazing. Like, you have this really awesome personality, which I think really contributed to your growth, because you know, when someone commented on my, you know, Jen from DACA, she posted
her.
Me on her Instagram.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I saw that you commented, and then I was like looking through your profile, and I just loved all the stuff that you posted. I see that people call you like Tia Soledad. And that's what do you make of this?
It's so funny because you guys, there's this whole little younger generation, right?
Yeah.
And see, like, in my heart, like, I still feel like I'm 19 years old, but
well,
I'm 34.
You look 19, let me tell you.
I'm 34 years old, but in my heart, I really just feel, and you know, like, I'm in a place where I'm transitioning careers. So that same kind of part of you that's like trying to figure out what do you want to do with your life, that's what it was like when I was 19.
Yeah.
Pero ahora estoy casada con dos hijos, you know, like, it's a little trickier.
Yeah.
And so that's, it's interesting. It's funny that I do have people who are like, oh, you know, like that I'm the tía. And I'm like, why can't I be the big sister, por lo menos? Like, I want to be the hermana. And they're like, oh, no, because, you know, tías are like responsible. And you're fun, too. You're the cool tía. And I'm like, okay, all right. I'll be the tía. I'll be, and like I said online, I said, I'll be the abuela as long as we can talk dinero. And that's what I really want. I just want people who are interested in talking dinero, because I know what it's like to feel lonely, to like, to feel like, am I weird? Am I weird for wanting to be debt-free? Am I weird for believing that I can build wealth in the United States when there are so little people that look like me with my background pursuing that? Right. Like, that shit's lonely and sad and scary.
It is, absolutely.
And I just want, like, if that's how you feel, know that you're not alone. There is an online community who will cheer you on, and I will be part of that. DM me. DM me. Let's talk dinero. It's the only way we're going to improve as a community, you know? And I really do. My goal is that we all build wealth collectively. I always say it ain't no fun if I'm the only wealthy one.
That's right. Yeah, that's what we're doing here. We're getting the community on board. We're showing them how important it is to talk about finances and just build that wealth, you know, just in the future. You know, I'm glad that you agreed to be on here. So that's amazing. And I want to go back a little bit with the family. You have kids, right? How do they feel about you budgeting? And how do they understand finance at their age? And how have you incorporated that?
They understand that there's a budget. They understand that one of the first things my six-year-old will ask me, not my three-year-old. My three-year-old doesn't really understand. My six-year-old will say, Mama, is it in the budget for me to get this cereal? And like whatever they want. But like, you know, because of COVID, it's not like we're out and about, right? So the only thing my six-year-old is really exposed to is grocery stores. So right now for them, it's just that. It's just like, you know, is it in the budget for this? And they also know that we have spend days and we have no spend days, which was something that was very important for me as like a natural spender to engage in like no spend challenges or even track the days I didn't spend money and make that be a reward for myself. And so on days when we're like, okay, it's going to be a no spend day. And I'll say like, when I kind of notice that we're getting too close to our budget being like tight, I'll be like, oh, it's a no spend day. And so it makes it a challenge for everyone to just not spend any money, not even ask to do anything. And it helps us stay within our budget.
That's awesome that they're thinking about that already. I can only imagine what they're going to be doing with this type of like info in the future, you know, that they understand it so well already. So.
And I've already talked to my six-year-old about having a Roth IRA. And I tell them, look, I'm not going to pay for your college education. I'm not investing in a 529. Yeah. I am not investing in a ESA, Coverdell account. I'm not doing that. I'm not saving for your college education. However, mommy and papi are working really hard to buy real estate and multi-units so that you have a home and you don't have to worry about buying a home. And if you start working, as soon as you start making money, and you have earned income, you can invest in a Roth IRA and I will max it out for you. I've already said this to my sister. And the sooner you start working, the sooner I could invest for you, the sooner your retirement will be set. So you're not going to have to worry about retirement. You're not going to have to worry about your house. That's like our generational wealth that we're striving for to pass down to the kids. But si quieres ir a escuela, prepárate, get your scholarships, do all of that, or you're going to have to borrow against your Roth IRA because mommy and papi aren't going to pay for that.
I love that. I love that. that's amazing.
And then my six-year-old is like, I'm going to live with you forever.
And you're like, what? I just told you we're going to buy real estate.
And they're just like, I don't want to work.
Oh. So talk about that. One of the best things someone can do is like invest in themselves. What do you do? You mentioned some. What do you do? What type of things do you do to invest in yourself? and what type of things can people do to invest in themselves, and what can they start with? And
so I think investing in your health and your well-being is Absolutely. So I invest in myself by going to therapy. I grew up with a lot of trauma. Like here in LA, there was a lot of gun violence. There's just, you know, poverty. Like we have to acknowledge the trauma that we've either experienced firsthand or even just like generational trauma. Everything that's going on in the United States right now, that's just traumatizing too. Yeah. So if it starts to impact you, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling very, you know, depressed, like invest in yourself and get the support you need for your mind to be right. For you to feel resilient. So I invest in therapy. I invest in massages because of my health issues. I make sure to like get the support I need for my back every 2 weeks. I am also invested in this program. It's called the Decolonial Collective Healing. It's run by Dr. Rosales Mesa, and it's a community for empaths. And that's been great for like empaths that are people of color, because I am very, very sensitive. I pick up on my people's emotions and learning how to take care of my well-being so that I could show up from a place of wellness and to operate from overflow instead of just like, you know, just trying to help without taking care of myself first. Those three things have been instrumental in being able to stay positive and hopeful during a freaking global pandemic that is impacting our community so much.
Yep, it's hitting especially hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've lost people due to COVID. I hear my friends and loved ones, you know, who are dealing with it too. We're getting sick, and that shit is exhausting. Unemployment is impacting our community a lot.
Yep.
And the only reason I'm able to stay positive is because I really invested in those three things that help me and support me. And because my wellness is right, then I could still dream and set goals. Because if you're right now thinking like, I'm just trying to survive, you are. And you need to find ways to support you so that you could actually start to dream and hope and then plan, because it does take intentionality to then create a budget and map out your numbers so that you can see, okay, well, how much can I put towards debt? How much can I put towards an emergency fund? How much can I put towards retirement account? And then I would say that's the other thing, right? Like my husband and I are on creating a plan so that we can retire at 47. Okay. So we're part of a FIRE journey, financial independence, retire early. Mm-hmm. And we want to, in order to do that, we are on a plan to max out our retirement accounts moving, you know, until we're 47, which means 19,500 employer accounts and Roth IRAs. But if we can't qualify for Roth IRAs because there's contribution limits, then be a traditional IRA because it's a tax advantage account. And then also investing in a brokerage account, because you can't access your retirement accounts until you're 59 and a half. Yep. So investing in a taxable brokerage account will allow us to pull money from there. I mean, you could also do something called Roth conversions, which I know I'm throwing a lot of words out here. And everyone who's listening, I always try to do that, because when I was on my journey, I would be like, ¿Qué lo que? Like people are saying all these words, and I would Google them.
Yep.
And that's honestly, like, we may not have the time to explain each one of those, but I want you to play back, rewind it, write down the words that you don't know and Google them, and let that start to increase your financial literacy. Because in reality, if you have consumer debt right now, if you have debt that has an interest rate above 6%, really, or even 7%, if your debt has an interest rate with such a high, like, you investing is not going to do anything to your net worth, because you can get like 10% back from investing in the SP 500 in index funds with inflation. That could be like 3%. You're only getting 7% back from investing in these retirement, investing in the stock
market. Yeah, in general. Yeah.
So if your debt, if your credit card has a 20% interest rate, a 15% interest rate, and all you're getting back from investing 7%, like that's not really helping. You do want to eliminate your credit card debt. So wherever you are, if you're confused by some of the words I'm saying, just because I want you to have them in your mind, know that you can always come back to it. But start where you are. Because like I said, in the very beginning, right? Like we could not have imagined that we would be in this fire dream where we're like now trying to like save so much money for real estate so that we can get a good down. I didn't know about things.
Right. Yeah. No, that definitely get the ball rolling with these, throw these words at people. And that's how I started too. Just like people were talking about these. And I was like, what is this? What is that? And I started like Googling everything. And then that's how it all just began. Retirement accounts, and you threw some out there. We're not going to go over what they are because I've gone over what some of these are on previous episodes. You have them on your page so people can check them out on Google. But I do want to say, as far as like, you know, the immigrant community doesn't really think about retirement accounts, doesn't really think about starting a bank account or all these things, these vehicles that would help long term. And maybe they have thought about it, but they don't know that they can access it, that they are able to start these, or maybe they're skeptical. I think a lot of things that I have found is in our community is very skeptical of putting their money in a bank or in an account. And I just wanted to get your take.
Okay. I know you want me to talk about why everyone should not be skeptical, but first I'm going to tell you why they should.
Yeah. Some reasons why they should.
Okay. And I'm going to speak from our personal experience, right? Because I shared earlier that my husband, who was born here, was okay with us getting out of debt, was okay with us, you know, building an emergency fund and a high yield savings account. Mm-hmm. But when I started talking about a Roth IRA, he thought that was so sketchy. And I had to think like, well, what is it about the stock market that's so sketchy? And I had to think with myself too, like there's a lot of movies out there and where these films are just like these, you know, they're out here taking your money, right? That the market can crash. And that's the stuff that gets in the media too. Like we're hearing about the crash and we're hearing about the stock market being risky. We hear that it's like, some people use it as gambling, right? Like, so there's that. And then there's also like events where Latinos have been targeted against in bank accounts and insurance companies. That's another one. Like a lot of Latinos are being sold whole life insurance, and that's so expensive versus term life insurance. Mm-hmm. Or they're being encouraged to invest their money in plans where the expense ratios, the fee that you know pay to open an account or have an account open, is so high. And those things are not being discussed, right? And so if you're not working with a fiduciary, but somebody who is obligated legally to work on your best interest, right? Yeah. Like they're supposed to be there to serve you. And that's something you need to be aware of when you are opening accounts or talking dinero with someone. Is it someone who's legally responsible to do you right? Or are they just trying to make money on a commission for selling you certain products? So those are the things that it's so important to have financial literacy. And I think that all of our emotions serve us. And if you're feeling fear, then reassure yourself by increasing your personal finance knowledge. I opened up a Roth IRA, I believe it was in March, but I didn't actually start investing, buying something, index funds or a target date retirement fund, until May, because I wanted to learn. I had my husband who was like, are you sure? And I just wanted to read. And for me, it was about getting the same information from different sources. That's what comforted me, right? Like for other people, you might just like hear once from somebody that you trust and you're like, okay, and you're fine. Or you hear it twice, or you hear it on a YouTube channel, a podcast, and then you're like, okay, this is confirmation. For me, I wanted to look at people who had various different opinions, but could all agree on the same thing. And so for me, something that like kept coming up was the value of investing in a target date retirement fund.
Yeah.
And the value of investing in index funds versus like individual stocks, because you want to diversify your portfolio. Also, we're just going to say here, don't sue us. This is not investment advice. Do what you got to do. That's a disclaimer.
Yeah.
Do your research. This is educational purposes
that's right.
only.
That's right. Educational opportunities here. Absolutely. I'm the same way though. Everything I've done is I'm doing research, you know, and like you said, I love that strategy because that's one I use as well, where getting the same information from different sources is what made me comfortable with it. And that's how I began as well. So that's a good way to do research.
I also think it's important if you, you know, to get information from people who you feel understand your story. So I remember what was a game changer for my husband was hearing from Miss Be Helpful and Investing Latina, the same information I had been sharing with, because these are two Dominicanas. And he was like, oh, Dominicanas are saying it? Okay. I believe it. And so like that might be something that influences you too. So know yourself, but don't let fear keep you from building wealth. Don't let fear allow inflation to eat away at your savings, because even right now, if you have your money in a high yield savings account, you're getting 0.5%. Hopefully, inflation is 3%. So your money over time is losing value. And that's the importance of, investing. And in terms of your question about, investing for retirement, I don't know what it is about us, our community, that is definitely just very in the moment. And to think long-term like that, like we could think long-term in terms of buying real estate, but the idea of, I think maybe also it's because a lot of us just think, oh, well, we'll work until we die.
Right. Yeah.
And that's just been what's been shown to us, right? Yeah. Like you just work until you
don't even think. Yes, right. They don't even think about retirement, which it's awful. You know, like we should have a retirement plan and take steps towards that, because it shouldn't be in our mindset that we're going to be working our whole lives. Like it's not what we deserve. You know what I mean?
100%. That's just freaking propaganda from capitalism and the result of colonization.
Absolutely. Like, let them know.
Yes. So we're not, our worth is not tied to our productivity, and we can rest, and rest is essential for our well-being. Mm-hmm. So retiring early allows us to rest more, and retiring at some point allows us to rest more. And in order to do that, one thing that I always encourage everybody is to look at Social Security and see how much money you can expect from Social Security. Mm-hmm. And this is like my technique to get everybody to open up retirement accounts, because as soon as you see the money that you can expect from Social Security, and on my Instagram page, I have a little highlight that gives you step-by-step instructions on how to access the website. When you see that little bit amount of money, I'm telling you, it's going to make you think, oh, I need to start investing for retirement. It has helped me with every single one of my friends. And know that it's never too late. You can always, no matter how old you are, you can always start investing towards retirement. And the younger you are, the better. Time in the market makes a huge difference.
Absolutely.
I shared in the beginning how I had listened to Susie Orman. So when I got a job at 23 with a 403b employer retirement account,
which is like a 401k, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just another for teachers and nonprofits, I think. But yeah.
So I put $500 a month into that retirement account, and I did that for 4 years. Just automatically, I never saw them. Like I never even noticed. Like my paychecks always were with $500 less, right? Because I was contributing to these things automatically. Well, in 4 years, that money that I had contributed over time, right? So what, $500 is like $6,000 a year. It is 6 times 4, $24,000. I contributed $24,000. Then I forgot about it. I got pregnant with my first child. I stopped contributing to my retirement accounts. It just, right? So I stopped, which again, don't let life do that to you. But if it does, you're human like me.
Right.
And that $24,000, 10 years later, had grown to $86,000. And I had done nothing. That is the power of investing early and letting compound interest grow your money. Mm-hmm. And when I looked at that account and I was like, what? I have $86,000. I was so happy that my little 23-year-old self had listened to Susie Orman and had just started to invest. Because then I was now, with two kids, and I was like, oh, all right, at least I do have retirement money. I do have some money. Whereas my husband literally is starting from scratch at the age of 32.
Yeah, yeah. So you had that advantage of just starting earlier. So I agree. That's why I started too. I was like, the advantage of starting early too that I found is if I make mistakes, I have time to fix them and I will learn from them and evolve from there. So that's a huge advantage. Absolutely. But you should also always be thinking toward how you can keep saving, you know, no matter what age, like you said, what's next for you? I know you're working on getting your, what is it? The
Certified Financial Planner, CFP certification.
All right, there you go. So what's next for you that you're going to get this, and what's your long-term goal?
I'm changing my careers, right? So I used to be a math teacher. I want to have a new career as a financial coach. I'd like to get my CFP certification. I want to, I'm really right now invested in building my newsletter and the subscribers to my newsletter.
Yeah, I see that.
And I'm really trying to do that because sometimes social media is so exhausting and you don't want to be on Instagram. And I think that during those most exhausting times, that's when we're most vulnerable to be making like some financial mistake. And so my newsletter comes out on the 1st and the 15th of each month. And it's literally just like a letter of cariño, encouraging you to stick to your financial goals. I always share whatever's on my mind and then encourage everyone else to reflect on the same things. And I share a book I'm reading, a video I'm watching, or a workshop I'm attending, and a podcast I'm listening to. So that's, it has awesome, like some
a lot of resources. Yeah.
And I've just started it, but one of my goals for 2021 is to, you know, continue to grow that newsletter and just continue to grow a community and making sure that people have access to someone who will talk dinero with them.
Yes.
I also want to start doing monthly workshops. I did a workshop in January on unpacking our money stories. And if you subscribe to my newsletter, you can get my money mindset workbook for free. And it has questions on there where you can just start to understand your own money story and get your mindset right so that you are on a track to having your best financial yet. That's like a big thing I'm on.
I love that. And what can people look forward to as far as like what type of things you talk about in your newsletters and your workshops? What kind of things will you go over?
The newsletters, it's very in the moment, whatever's happening in the world, right? It's very reflective of that. And then just connecting that with how it impacts our finance. And then the workshops, I want to do one on budgeting. I want to do one on saving. I want to do one on investing, you know, all those like important topics that are necessary for building your financial literacy. And there are a lot of amazing people out there who are sharing this information. And I can also just be the person who connects you with those people.
Absolutely. Too. Yeah. You have the personality for it. You have everything for it. So if people, absolutely. It's been an honor to have you on here. It's the first time meeting you and I already feel like you're my friend. Like, no. My hermana.
Yay!
Where you said your Instagram.
Yes, I'm on Instagram at Wealth Para Todos. I am on Twitter at Wealth Para Todos. I'm on Pinterest at Wealth Para Todos. I have a website, wealthparatodos.com. And I have my newsletter that you should subscribe to. Oh, I just joined Clubhouse. I'm hip.
Wow. I haven't even joined Clubhouse.
I'll give you an invite. I'll send you an invite. And I'm also there on Wealth Para Todos. And again, this is just like, I'm trying to find ways poco a poco to just be a person like, you know, maybe you relate to my story. Maybe you relate to me. And if you do, like, talk to me. I'm here to talk to you. DM me, like, comment on my messages. It's me behind all these things. So I'm growing these things slowly because I am a mom with two kids. I am studying. I'm still a student.
Yep.
But I'm just, my goal, my dream is that it continues to grow something that it's a passion project.
Yep.
I agree, many of us talking dinero
there is.
And building wealth.
And the community is very welcoming. I see everyone always interacting, sharing people's stuff. So, I mean, don't be afraid to reach out. And it's really beneficial. I mean, you learn things, right? It's free resources and it's to get you started to make your future into one that you won't be working when you're like 65 and you know, however old, so that you can start retiring early, because I mean, it's important to start thinking about that stuff. So I love
choices.
That.
It's about having choices.
Yeah, it is.
So that if one year you want to take a year off because you want to travel, now you can do it. Like, money is a tool that provides us with a lot of choices. And that's what I want for mi gente.
I love that. Well, that's all I got for you.
Yay.
thanks so much for being on here. I loved meeting you. And
I love meeting you. I love what you're doing. Keep
doing
it.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, please give it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and a follow on Spotify. It helps me tremendously in order to bring more awareness and educational resources to our community. For more information and to stay up to date with what I'm doing, you can follow me on Instagram at LatinaAmericaNail. And if you need more information and resources, you can visit my website, LatinaAmericaNail.org. I'm Kevin Munoz. This has been the Leo Podcast, and I'll see you next time.